Welcome to another episode of the Nanolife Science Institute podcast, offering updates of the latest news and research at the Institute. The Nanolife Science Institute at Kanazawa University was established in 2017 as part of the World Premier Institute Research Center Initiative of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science and Technology, MEXT. Scientists at the NanoLSI are combining their cutting-edge expertise in scanning probe microscopy to establish nanoendoscopic techniques to directly image, analyze, and manipulate biomolecules for insights into mechanisms governing life phenomena such as diseases. Today, we are joined by Professor Yuri Korchev of Imperial College London. Professor Korchev is an overseas-based principal investigator of the NanoLSI and a member of the Nanometrology Group. Yuri, welcome to the NanoLSI podcast, and thank you for joining us from London. Quick question about the effect of COVID-19 on your research. What is the situation like in the UK for academics and researchers?
I believe, UK were not performing very well, during this pandemic. And I think I would do some comparison with Japan, because when this pandemic started, actually, in March, I was in Japan at that time. And I generally noticed that in Japan, lots of people were wearing masks to start with. And it kind of was normal. And I remember even corner shop, you go there and you see choice of about 20 different type of mask which you can buy. And generally, they're very different, and it's already started. It was even registered something in Japan. And when we were flying back, all Japanese were wearing masks, but none of the European even put it on. And people were not caring that much, and so easily it spread alone, and we affected probably one of the most affected country. And finally, university and research become very affected, because in the way that there were number of restrictions, especially for students, and plus we have so many international students. Compared with Kanazawa University, where mainly would be Japanese, of course you will have some PhD or postdoc, but here it's impossible. We almost have more foreign students than UK students. Imperial doing quite well, so we don't have much spread, so we control, but it's a quite tough rule. So like laboratory, you can visit for 4 days, like during the week, and then you have to stay isolated for next 10 days. For my lab, it was much easier because each room is separated and this restriction will not apply in that much.
Okay, let's move on to research now. And do you think you could give me an outline of what you do, your research activities and projects that you're involved in with the WPI project at Kanazawa University?
Because historically, I'm kind of, I'm not British, I'm Ukrainian. So, but I old man, it's after Soviet Union collapsed, I were given this opportunity to go to the UK and started as a postdoc and so on. And now I'm a professor at Imperial College. So since that, I'm mainly biophysicist. So back home, I was doing biophysics, or rather physics, physical chemistry of membrane and artificial nanopores. And now I kind of find a very good link to biology, because when I started with a different pore than toxin pore, and then we come to I'm more like inventor, or developer. I like to develop some scientific devices or that for the research. And often it's kind of triggered by that you have a problem, how to solve it. Could I find a technical solution which will help to do better measurement, something? And we become known mainly for the our scanning ion conductance microscope. So this is scanning probe microscopy, which is Kanazawa, very famous. What has happened that for biology, lots of this technique were not applicable, which provide very high resolution live imaging. Any kind of, this is a scanning probe where you have a very, very tiny probe, very high resolution, which actually interact with the sample. And any interaction cause, and if it's a mechanical, for example, you have a problem, you're pushing the cell, it's responding, push yourself strongly with a needle, you will be painful because cell will respond and you will feel it. Because I was studying ion channels, this nanopore, and often use a glass nanopipette, it's to measure electrophysiology and isolate, for example, a particular nanopore. This has become very interesting tool. And in America, Paul Hansma introduced these possibilities. There's such a probe also can be used for the feedback. What we found, it's a very fantastic because it's a very simple system, very easy to produce. You just pull a glass pipette, a glass capillary, to the very sharp size, to the nano size. It's very easy to combine kind of macro world with nano size. And by filling with just any salt solution, like physiological buffer, which cell will grow, and applying a small current, you can actually use it as a proximity sensor. So when such a probe bring to the surface, the ion flow or diffusion of practically ion into the pipette become restricted. I always compare like a bottle of wine with a cork, you know, you pour it, just flooding. If you put a cork, nothing flooding. So it's simple like that. So that means that you can bring your nanoprobe very close to the sample without actually touching it. So you always measure the gap, and that creates a very good opportunity because now if you start to scan the cell, you're not touching them and you get a true topography. And actually, even lots of electron microscopists, because you do always lots of artifact by doing that, because you have to dry kill the sample and always compare. And now you can study the live sample. It's like human being instead of Egyptian mummy, you know, which dry and, you know, and protected. So that gives us a big opportunity to get a very high resolution and look for the dynamics of cell. But the beauty of using this type of nanoprobe that you can fabricate a very interesting, and this is when you start to work with Kanazawa, because they were using a different probe and some electrochemical probe. So you can use a glass nanopipette and to add chemical sensitivity. And that become very attractive because often you've got an image or picture, and so what it does and how you can understand what the system, what it's doing, because often topography doesn't mean much. You know, it may look like a car or aircraft. You may guess what it is, but how fast and what it's doing and how it operates is very difficult to judge. But then we started to add some chemical sensors, and maybe if you look at our publication, we add some electrochemical measurement where you can measure quite a number of components based on their electrochemical property. Or add chemical sensor, like we use a pH meter. For example, simple pH meter, but based on very sharp nanopipette. But what a beauty, if it's smaller, it's become more sensitive. It's like with transistor. The smaller it is, the more sensitive it is. Bring us to the position to maybe link the healthcare and future things with this nanoprobe, because you can imagine, for example, now, glucose sensor, you can just put a small chip on your, for example, hand or somewhere in your, put on the surface of your skin and measure, for example, glucose. For diabetics, it's very important, people using this now, and you can just read on your mobile phone. All the sensor potentially could be plugged as a very, very tiny nanoscopic sensor interfacing with a small board to your, for example, cancer tissue. And if you do treatment, you actually have the possibilities to directly send this signal how treatment goes and how you change this major component, it's like a marker for cancer, to your phone, which could be lead to the particular application and link to the doctor. Because often now we quite overwhelmed just by going for this particular blood test and special imaging technique to the hospital and here. And often the cancer treatment is very expensive and very damaging, because if you have some antibody treatment, it could cost you tens of thousands of pounds, you know, and it could be not effective at all. And in this case, you practically can potentially develop a new type of sensor which will help you.
So could this be used during surgery as well?
When they do an operation or surgeon, they have to remove the cancer. They have no idea what is the dangerous part of the tissue or what is not. So again, having a direct test straight on your scalpel or knife, you know, could give information what you should cut. Otherwise, we cut maybe too much. These nanosensors, they actually can go to any place. It's just a very simple way.
Who do you work with at Kanazawa?
We collaborate a lot with Yasufumi Takahashi. He's now a professor at Kanazawa. And my postdoc was working actually on this WPI-funded project here in my lab. He moved now to Japan. It's a Dr. Yanjun Zhang. He is now moved and got associated professor at Kanazawa in kind of my lab there. So he now moved there, and now they relocated to the new building. He's already started, and we now do lots of communication with him, but it just started. They just moved. And this is what we're planning, and we're planning to do lots of joint experiments. System we're currently using, like a scanning, it's a completely computer-based. You can take practically that computer and see it on your screen and actually follow the experiment and do experiment together. That is a very effective way. So we almost written now the also system where you, if you don't have access to your computer, you can practically almost run experiment from your phone, so, and see the data coming.
You are a regular visitor to Japan. I'm wondering, what are your observations of the approaches to research in Japan compared with the UK?
I would say that normally the time people spend in the lab and dedicated in Japan are very high. In the UK, they're a little bit more relaxed. This is a balance, because you can see how science perform in the UK, for example, in the States or Japan, China maybe, or I don't know, Europe. You see, they're all effective. However, they have a slightly different approach to that. So,
and what about the future? What kind of research will you be pursuing over the next 3 or 4 years?
We have several. One of them, we can assess quite a number of functional characteristics of, for example, cancer cell. The program is to look at that. And we actually see the variability with cancer cell, with their property, when they look almost identical. And that is important for several reasons. In cancer, the cell distributed within the cancer very different. Someone within the middle, they probably already dead, and some in very stressed situation and change their characteristic dramatically. Going to the kind of outer or kind of to the border, the cell change, they have different mechanical characteristics and different pH, ROS, the number of things changing. And this is a problem with genetics. Because if you look at them, they all genetically trigger different things. How to follow which is, and the worst scenario, so-called cancer stem cell. It's like a breast cancer. When they settle the colony and grow, they normally epithelial cells. They are, you cannot say that they are cancer even, you know, because they don't behave. They behave, and they, no problem. And suddenly in their environment appeared a few cells, maybe because they are not very comfortable because they already transformed cells, and started to develop different characteristics. They become more aggressive, and it's just a few percent. And suddenly they move from it and decide to metastase somewhere else. And if you follow this transformation of this stem cell, they actually started to switch a whole number of genes in some kind of sequence. And that is, at the moment, very difficult to test. We can pick up them, but that is a nasty cell because you can remove the cancer. It's enough to leave one or two of the stem cell. They will create a colony somewhere else. And our microscopy gives a chance to pick up this function because they become more acidified. They release more proton, ATP. They mechanically change because in order to move, you need to change your cytoskeletal structure and start it to operate. And what is the beauty of this technology? One of the development is so-called nanotweezers. Using this very sharp nanopipette with two carbon probe, where you can apply high frequency and pick up RNA from a cell. So you non-invasively can go in, pick up RNA, the one which was triggered, and go for analysis for PCR. So the look at that qPCR, because you take RNA, then DNA, and so on. The beauty is it's non-invasive. So we can follow, see the functionally the cell become nasty, but also to follow in time, and this is our plan, it never been done, that you can follow genetic changes in one cell. And that gives an incredible opportunity, because we may know, because other way we look at that, cell already moved to this state. And if you analyze 5,000 cell, and this is what we published in this pH meter, we look at the pH, but we look at the gene expression. So by just simply analyzing the cells, by looking for this particular two genes, we cannot say anything. We have to look at the actual changes in function as well. And that gives us a chance to pick up the cell which start to go to this, let's say, stem cell behavior, and follow in time how it will change and what the gene expression will happen in a single cell. So as soon as we know the sequence, we may stop it, intervene at the right place, because other way we have no idea what is triggering next step and next step, because it looks like trigger one gene, trigger next and next. And when the mixture happen, we don't know who is responsible for the process, and we cannot stop it.
What are your views about the WPI approach to this international collaboration?
It allows us to travel between places and continue to do it. That it makes. We actually collaborated before this WPI, but it was very difficult, because every time it required quite an effort to get this link working well. Now having the funds, it makes it practically, I think it's a very clever and very right way of doing it.
That was Professor Yuri Korchev, principal investigator at the WPI Nanolife Science Institute at Kanazawa University, talking about his collaboration and other aspects of his research. Details about the WPI Nanolife Science Institute at Kanazawa University can be found by visiting the NanoLSI website. The NanoLSI podcast is produced by the Public Affairs section of the WPI Nanolife Science Institute at Kanazawa University in Japan. We look forward to your company again for the next episode of the NanoLSI podcast.